Several of you have asked me, Pastor, are you going to speak today? And I am. It's going to be short. So get your Bibles out and get your notes ready. If you have your Bibles, and you should, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 51. I want to say before we get into this message today that at the conclusion of this service, I will invite Pastor Ray back up onto the platform, and we're going to do a rededication ceremony of this auditorium. So that is yet to come. We've got that planned out. So today I conclude the series, Alert. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been examining Jesus' lengthy answer to two questions posed by his disciples, which make up the entirety of the Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapter 24 and 25. On his way to the Mount of Olives, his disciples call his attention to the temple, the iconic symbol of the Jewish faith. In fact, everything about the Jewish faith and the worship of Yahweh up to that point was enshrined and embodied in that temple. And Jesus replies with what seems to be a flippant response in passing. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 2, he says, "Do you see these things? Do you see all these things? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And that statement shocked his disciples, shocked them so much that they had to bring it up when he arrived on the Mount of Olives. They privately asked him two questions found in Matthew 24:3. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" Now, here's how those questions would be asked in our modern vernacular. Will you allow me to do a Barry Clare kind of a translation paraphrase in a modern language? Here's how this question would be asked in our modern vernacular. "Jesus, you said some shocking things that are freaking us out. You said you're coming back in your Father's glory with your angels," Matthew 16, 27, "and the temple will be thrown down," Matthew 24, 2, "and that the present age will end," Matthew 13, 39. "We've never heard these things anywhere before, and we're terrified. Please tell us, Jesus, tell us, what in the world are you talking about?" And so he does. From the Mount of Olives, and I have a picture here that I took of Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray and I went in 2016 together. And I took this picture of him on the Mount of Olives. Jesus taught his disciples about his future second coming, ironically from the exact spot, perhaps where you're standing in that picture, where his second coming would occur. And then he says, "Since no one knows the day or the hour, you must be alert. You must be awake. You must be paying close attention so that you will not get caught off guard." He then tells three parables to emphasize his point. We've been looking at those parables over the last several weeks. Stand with me and let's read our scripture text from Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 51. Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or of your Lord, on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would not have kept watch. He would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assigned him to a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is God's word. Can you say amen to it? Father, we come to you right now, taken aback by some of the harsh language. I mean, cut to pieces. Servants cut to pieces and cast out into outer darkness. God, I pray that today's message would be inspired by your word, not to frighten us and not to terrify us, but God, in the deep places of our soul and spirit today, to give us peace, that you are in control and nothing escapes your notice or your control. Help us as your people to be the wise servant, to be the wise servant who's paying attention and alert and not distracted by a shaking that's going on around us, and that when you come, you will find us faithful. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's message is entitled in the series Alert, Pay Attention to Purpose. Pay attention to purpose. Now, knowing that I would be concluding this series on a day of celebration and rededication, I thought it would be appropriate to save this parable, the first of the three, for last, because it's more appropriate to the occasion that we find ourselves in today. We began this series by looking at the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 get into the wedding feast and 5 were left out. In this parable, Jesus teaches us that not all those who self-identify as Christians will enter into heaven. Only those who have been paying attention to their preparedness, only those who are alert and ready with burning passion for Jesus will get in. This parable taught us that in the end, it doesn't so much matter that you know Jesus. What really matters is that Jesus knows you. Last week, we looked at the parable of the 3 servants in which the master shares his wealth with his servants, and 2 were good and faithful and received well done from the master, but 1 was wicked and lazy and received a worthless. Someone said to me this last week when we were discussing this sermon, is that word worthless really in the text? I said, yes. The master says, throw that worthless servant out. Again, not every virgin or servant who expects to get in will enter into heaven. Only those servants who are paying attention to their productiveness will get in. That's the lesson from this parable. Only those who are taking the master's gifts and immediately risking investment will receive a reward. This parable taught us that in the end, the grace of God that leads to salvation will also lead to kingdom productiveness. And now, today, we turn our attention to the last parable. Well, the first parable. The last one we'll discuss. And no surprise, should not surprise anyone in this room or watching by stream, it teaches us that not every person who self-identifies as a Christian will get into heaven. Only that servant who is paying attention to his or her God-given purpose will receive a treasure, a reward. Okay? Only that person who is paying attention to his or her God-given purpose will receive a reward. So following the outline from the last 2 weeks, let's conclude today by first of all looking at some lessons in purpose. And I have just a few lessons in purpose. Now, there are a lot of lessons in purpose, but in this particular parable, God gives his servants, the lesson Jesus is communicating, that God gives his servants 2 purposes, leading and feeding. Leading and feeding. Look at verse 45. Who then is faithful and wise servant, who the master has, put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food in the proper time. Okay? So God gives his servants 2 purposes in this parable, and I believe he's teaching us that our main purposes are leading and feeding. Let me just talk about these for a moment and then move on. First of all, we have been given the purpose of managing or leading the household of God, which is his kingdom on earth. Okay? So the master puts his servant in charge of the household. The lesson here is that we have been given the purpose of managing or leading the household of God, which is his kingdom on earth. You say, well, isn't this a parable for leaders? No, commentators are unanimous. This lesson does not only apply to the leaders, it applies to every one of his disciples. We have been delegated the task of stewarding the kingdom purpose on earth. And here at Tiffany Fellowship Church, we have been delegated the responsibility to manage God's resources here until he comes. This facility, friends, listen to me, this facility, this auditorium is a kingdom resource. It's a tool, nothing more, nothing more. It's a gift of God for our use from which to increase the kingdom of God on earth here in the Northland of Kansas City. So we want it to look good. We want it to function right. We want it to be attractive. But it's a tool, nothing more. And that's our job. Our job description from Jesus is to manage his household until he comes back. To manage his household until he comes back. Secondly, we have been given the purpose of feeding his servants the nourishing word of God. Feeding his servants the nourishing word of God. When Jesus restored Peter after his three-time betrayal, he said it three times. Do you remember what he said in Matthew or John chapter 21? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. He reminded Peter of his God-given purpose, which I believe is all of our God-given purpose. And so I would remind Tiffany Fellowship Church as we celebrate our freedom from mortgage to remember our God-given purpose. It is to lead and feed. To lead as many people as possible into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and to feed all who claim this as their home, the Word of God, that they might grow deeper in intimacy with him. That is our purpose. The second lesson from this text, and I'm only going to bring two, is the master's delayed return threatens to expose the wicked servant. The master's delayed return threatens to expose the wicked servant. Look at verses 48 and 49 of our text, Matthew 24. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away for a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. Friends, listen to me. God's delay in coming, the return of Jesus, delayed as it is a test of character and commitment. It is a test of character and commitment. In another place, another New Testament writer says, there will be scoffers who arise and say, hey, he's not coming. He's not coming. They're scoffers who's testing their character and commitment. They fail miserably. God's delay, Jesus' delay in coming is a test of character and commitment. It's how we respond. Listen to me. It's how we respond during this time of testing that proves our character and our commitment. What does the wicked servant do? He abandons his God-given purpose and misuses his power and pursues selfishness. So those are two lessons I just want to identify before we conclude this series. So, practicing. Some tips for practicing purpose. How do we continue to practice purpose with as much efficacy as we can? I just want to touch on two little tips here. Number one, we must remind ourselves frequently of our purpose. We must remind ourselves frequently of our purpose. And that's what we do every time we take communion. We remind ourselves that we are committed to the gospel and its propagation to the whole world. Every time we take the emblems, small as they are, we take a symbol of his body and a symbol of his blood, which represent visual representations of the gospel, that we will take the message of his death and resurrection to the ends of the earth. A constant reminder, Jesus says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. And that's what we're also going to do here in just a few short moments in a ceremony of rededication of this auditorium to the glory of God and our purpose to lead God's household and feed his servants. We're going to remind ourselves and we're going to rededicate ourselves to that purpose. The second practicing purpose, we must stay the course in good times and in bad. We must not only remind ourselves frequently of our purpose, but we must stay the course in good times and bad. Jesus has warned us that times will get worse on the earth the closer it gets to his return. So this shouldn't take us unawares. We need to stay alert. It's going to get worse on the earth the closer it gets to his return. We are reminded today that God has brought this church through some tough times. And for us now in here, it is good. It is good right now. I mean, can I say this? This is not a prideful statement. I say this to the glory of God. We are positioned unlike most churches I know of. We are so positioned, friends, like, and with that positioning and those resources, and with that preparedness comes responsibility. There's a shaking going on in our culture. God has brought this church through some tough times, and right now it's good, but there's a shaking happening in our culture. Iconic symbols of stability are proving weak and unstable. Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes, it will be good for us if he finds us aware of our preparedness, aware of our production, and aware of our purpose. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come, and I'm going to ask again Pastor Ray to join me on this platform. I want to conclude this service. In the end, I want to leave this series with this reminder. In the end, only those who are fully prepared, fully productive, and fully practicing their purpose will get in. We'll get in. I want to remind us on that day when today as we rededicate this auditorium to the glory of God, that we need to stick with our purpose. Would you please stand with me this morning? I got it done. Pretty good time.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Hope I didn't say anything and lose my credentials.
No, sir. I'm concerned about those pastors and churches you know about that aren't living up to their purpose, though.
We went to the Holy Land. I sweated out the whole time. Got really close to losing my credentials, which would mean you'd have to get a new pastor. That'd be bad.
We visited every aroma in
yes,
Israel.
We did.
Every coffee shop named Aroma in Israel. It was great.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a time and do a little kind of joking around. I apologize for that. But this is a sacred moment. I want to call your attention to that. And I want to call your posture to that. And I ask you to stand because, again, I think this sacred moment, I'm going to ask you to participate in it, and we're going to put some statements on the wall that Pastor and Ray and I will read, and there's a response for you. So I want to ask you to respond. In a sense, we all in this room are rededicating ourselves to this. And so, Father, right now in this moment that we've gathered here, I invoke your presence here today in a specially powerful way. Be a
sweet spirit.
Father God, Jesus, Son of God, Holy Spirit of God, witness today our rededication statements of God, which come from our heart and from our spirit this morning, that we would leave this place rededicated, recognizing that you have positioned us, you have blessed us, you've brought us to this moment that we're in today by your sovereign hand. So in a sense, we stand on holy ground today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Having been led by the great hand of God and enabled by his grace and power to refurbish this auditorium, we now stand in God's holy presence and once again offer this place of worship to him.
We rededicate this house of worship to the glory of God the Father, who has called us by his grace, to the honor of his Son, who loved us and gave himself for us, to the praise of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us.
We rededicate this house of worship for his glory. For the gathering together of all people seeking to know the one true God, to worship him and to sing his praise, to ask his forgiveness, to find comfort in time of sorrow, to find courage in time of challenge, to study his word and to fellowship in love and joy with one another, we rededicate this house of worship for his glory.
For the salvation of those without Christ, for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the observance of the ordinances of water baptism and holy communion,
we rededicate this house of worship for his glory. For the building of Christian character, for the practicing of Christian stewardship, for the promotion of Christian missions, for the demonstration of Christian compassion, we rededicate this house of worship for his glory.
In grateful memory of our rich heritage and with eager anticipation of a glorious tomorrow,
we rededicate this house of worship for his glory. In the excitement we feel at the beginning of a new era in the life of this church, in the renewed desire to be a church that calls and leads all people everywhere into deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ, we rededicate this house of worship for his glory.
And always remembering that as his disciples, we do not leave the church when we leave this house of worship, for we are the church, the visible body of Christ, in our homes and neighborhoods, at work and at school, in our civic responsibilities, and indeed anywhere in the world our paths may lead.
We rededicate this house of worship for his glory. We, the leadership and congregation of Tiffany Fellowship Church, rededicate ourselves with renewed passion to the purpose and efforts that former pastors have exemplified for us, and proudly and gratefully stand on their shoulders in the advancement of the kingdom of heaven to the ends of the earth and until the return of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all together we would say, we prayerfully and gratefully rededicate ourselves for his glory. Amen and amen. Will you join us in the doxology?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts.
All together.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah! Yeah. Hallelujah! Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing His kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.